In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint John of the Cross,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Saint John. Jesus said, "Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. And many, many say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening. Okay, what I'd like to do is I'd like to finish reading 142 and try to connect that with the Gospel. We've gotten only through about a half of 142, and last week we spoke about Our Lady Guadalupe. So I'd like to finish this number, 142, and make a commentary on it. So we've arrived at the last word that we had read was treasure. So that's right, almost in the middle of the 142. Following that is, I am one with the Lord. It is as if the gulf between us, creator and creature, disappears. For a few days, my soul was in a state of continuous ecstasy. God's presence did not leave me for a single moment. My soul remained in a continuous loving union with the Lord. But this in no way interfered with the performance of my duties. I felt I was transformed into love. I was all afire, but without being burned up. I lost myself in God unceasingly. God drew me to himself so strongly and powerfully that sometimes I was not aware of being on earth. I had impeded and feared God's grace for so long, and now God himself, through Father Andras, has removed all our difficulties. My spirit has been turned towards the sun and has blossomed in his rays. For him alone. I understand no more. Okay, what I'd like to do, I'd like to glean from that, is the following. She feels just totally absorbed in God. A total absorption in God. And her heart is set afire. She's in what is called the state of ecstasy. Natural terms would call this an out-of-body experience, no? She's in ecstasy. Okay. Now, okay, how can we apply this to ourselves? I think it's related to John chapter 6 that I just read a little portion from it. John chapter 6 is a long chapter. This past summer, we spent about 5 weeks on that one chapter. Sunday Masses. And there's 71 verses. You can divide it into three basic parts. Two of the signs in St. John, which means the miracles are present. Jesus walking on the waters. Jesus multiplying the loaves. And then Jesus gets up and he gives one of his most brilliant discourses, if not the most brilliant discourse. And it's called the Bread of Life Discourse, which is two-thirds of the chapter. We enter into that chapter in already in verse 20s, and it takes us all the way to 71. Okay, what Jesus is saying in that is the bread of life is the Eucharist. Okay. The bread of life is the Eucharist. I'm already formulating a New Year's proposal, even though we haven't arrived yet. Can I tell you?
Yes.
Okay. It's gonna be proposed. It's gonna take me to the end of my life. And if you want to make the proposal, I would feel honored. Okay. My proposal is I'm gonna try to prepare myself as best I can for Holy Mass, and make the best Thanksgiving I can. Amen. What do you think? Is that a good proposal?
Yes.
Okay, my proposal. Try every day when I have the Mass to prepare as best I can for the Mass. And then make the best Thanksgiving possible. Then to live out the Mass as best I can. You know, my friends, if I do that, I'll become a saint. I mean, I've got the proposal, I haven't lived it out yet, but if I live it out, I think when I die, I'll be ready to be canonized. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, to write to the Pope to canonize me already, no. But I would ready to do that for you also. And I think sometimes apostolically, we spin our wheels, we're kind of like, what do you call it? Is it hamster and gerbil the same thing that goes around, like that little rodent that goes around the wheel? No? I think some of us are human hamsters, no? Or gerbils, where we're kind of spinning our wheels. Like on the East Coast, when you get the snowfall, you've maybe seen pictures of the tow truck, that's, you know, the car that's caught in the snow and he's spinning his wheels, no? All of us New Yorkers are aware of that happening to us or to our neighbors, no? So I think that would be a good Christmas proposal as well as New Year's proposal. And why not tell your children about that? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Maybe a teenager, would that be a good idea? Hello? Okay, now, that being the case, I'm going to do an Ignatian application of the senses related to this number with respect to the Eucharist. Okay, when you receive the Eucharist, you receive what is called in Spanish el Cristo Total. Cristo total, if you know Spanish, would be you receive the total Christ. The total Christ. You've said these words so much that it becomes a hackneyed or trite phrase, as you say in English lit, no? It becomes somewhat a hackneyed and trite phrase, another word for saying a cliche, if you want, okay? Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. You've heard it so much that, okay, it becomes hackneyed, trite. It becomes a cliche. So it's not a bad idea. Maybe meditate upon those words. You receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And that should catapult you into an ecstasy if you meditate upon it. catapult. Better word, skyrocket you into an ecstasy. You receive his body, his blood, his soul, his divinity. So let's go through that. Okay, you receive the Eucharist. That's why after Mass, I try to sit down for a couple minutes. And sometimes the people, oh, que pobrecito está cansado. That's what they think. Oh, pobrecito está cansado. Tuvo un día muy duro. I said in Spanish, poor Father Brome, he had a tough day. No, he's falling asleep now. I tell you, that's never happened yet. I'm keenly aware of what I'm doing. I'm not sitting down there to fall asleep. I'm keenly, acutely aware of what's happened. I'm there making my Thanksgiving. I only got 3 minutes because I can't be there like Padre Pio 3 hours. I can't. But I'm doing that also to give example to the people. And if you're looking at me, you didn't understand what happened when you received Holy Communion. I feel flattered that you're looking at Father Brome. Why are you looking at me? You got Christ within? Tempted, I'll open up. Why are you looking at me? Oh, pobrecito está cansado. No. Sometimes we have to go back to what my mom taught me. Close your eyes. You'll hear me say, let us pray. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Enter within. Isn't that Teresa of Avila, the divine dwelling of the mystical spouse, John La Crosse? Okay, you have the mind of Christ. Is that a metaphor or reality? It's not a metaphor. Metaphor means, is it like? No, it's not like. It's really. You got the mind of Christ. Paul says, put on the mind of Christ. Then he says, you got the mind of Christ. He gives you the imperative, right? Put on the mind of Christ. Imperative, what? It means a command. And he says, in the present, you have the mind of Christ. Those two phrases of Paul over the past year, I've been meditating upon them. What does it mean? That's the word of God, too. Put in the mind of Christ. How do we obey that? Dina? By receiving communion, right? Si, Padre. Right? Receive communion. So you come up there, body of Christ, amen. You've got the mind of Christ. Okay, I'm going to teach you now how to make a Thanksgiving. I really like to develop this, teaching people how to make a Thanksgiving. Because no one ever preaches on this. But in my blog articles, I've written on this before. And I will write in the future. Lord, you got Jesus within you. Lord, give me your memory. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, you know Aristotle and Thomas Aquinas, right? Okay. The mind has three faculties. According to Aristotle, Thomas Aquinas used Aristotle, no? Whereas Augustine used Plato in their philosophy. So you got your memory. Then you got second part, understanding. Third part, imagination. That's all part of the intellectual apparatus. But the three different things. Memory is not the understanding, is it? Is the understanding the imagination? Very different. That's the constitutive elements of your intellectual apparatus, if I can sound intellectual tonight. You got a memory. A lot of us are tortured by past memories. Right, Martha?
Yeah.
I think we all are in a certain way. We got these past memories, they're like, it's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie, no? Where the ghosts of the past haunt us in the same moment. The ghosts of the past, they haunt us. And many people, they're living in the past. They're living in the past. You're like an archaic fossil of the past is your memory. That's not good. If you live in the past, you're never going to take advantage of the present moment. You can't. I like baseball analogies. You know, if you strike out the first time, knock the ball off the wall in center field, if not out of the stadium. Right, Dan? You're always thinking about, okay, I struck out, I'm a loser, you're never gonna play good baseball. I made a mistake, okay, I'm gonna hit it and I'm gonna pound it. You gotta be baseball athletes for Christ. Nunc chepi. Ever hear that word? Now I begin. But what you can do in your communion is ask the Lord to purify your mind of past bad memories. Amen?
Amen.
You've never done that before. Well, why not do it tomorrow? Something that happened when I was 15 years old, I really can't seem to cope with that. Well, the Lord can, if you allow Him. I'm not going to debunk psychology. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not. But I think a lot of our emotional, psychological problems, going to professional, see. Yes. I think a lot of them can be solved and healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you believe it? Let me give you a bit biblical proof. You've read the Gospels, right? Almost every chapter or every other chapter depends upon the Gospel. You have Jesus who's meeting someone who has some ailment, right? Does Jesus heal? Almost always the healing is immediate. Except there's one in John where he says, okay, I'll heal you, but go to Siloe and, you know, wash your eyes. And after that, okay, it took a couple of steps. But usually healing of Christ was immediate. The 10 lepers, right? Paralytic, right? The deaf mute. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
You got that. Okay. The deaf mute, okay. You hear that, Jaime? Okay, right away. Lazarus, right away. The daughter of Jairus, right away. The son of the widow of Nain, right away. Now you correct me if I'm teaching heresy, but Jesus healed, right? Could he do it today? Why are so many people that are wounded, they stay wounded? I really believe lack of faith. No, I believe it. Lack of faith. No, Ignatius, this is an Ignatian group, right? Ignatius lived a very bad life. But he made a general confession there in Montserrat, right?
Yeah.
He was changed. He had encountered the Blessed Virgin Mary, laid his arms there, he received the grace of perfect chastity. Praise the Lord. Don't be jealous, but be thankful. He makes a genuine confession. And here's a guy who's lived a very worldly life. Father Tim said he probably broke all the commandments. If there were an 11th commandment, he probably would have broken that. Okay? But he was healed. You're saying, well, we read the Bible, Jesus, 2,000, but Jesus was actually with him. He's with us. Do you believe it? You don't believe it. He's with us. Same Jesus that was there 2,000 years ago, touching the blind man, touching the man that was deaf and mute, he's present in sign and symbol and reality every time that we celebrate the Eucharist. And we celebrate the Eucharist. Father Greg Staub would point this out. Father Greg Staub had great love for Mary and a great love for the Eucharist. Con celebrating with him, you know, this was a man of God. Eric and Viridiana, do you know the Marian sanctuary where there are most healings? It's not Guadalupe. It's Lourdes. No offense, no? Mm-hmm. Lourdes is where you have, also if you've ever been to Canada, Saint Anne de Beaupre, you've got all these crutches all over that people have been healed. No? Saint Anne de Beaupre. I know what you're thinking. Have any of you been to Lourdes?
Yes.
I know what you're thinking. It's in the healing waters of Lourdes. That's true. But John, do you know when most of the healings occur? I mean, there are many miracles when they go into the healing waters of Lourdes. You've heard of that, right? Many. Some of you probably have the water of Lourdes maybe in your home. But most of the healing comes about at night as the sun goes down and the priest goes out into the plaza, or la piazza, Italian, and he's making the Eucharist a procession. When he's blessing the people, that's when you have the healings. Once there was an atheist who was speaking with a man that had a sickness. And the man that was sick went to Lourdes. And the atheist said, where are you going? I'm going to Lourdes because I want Jesus and the Blessed Mother to heal me. And he came back. He was talking with the atheistic friend. And the atheistic friends see your God, your love for the Blessed Mother, they can't do anything. They didn't heal you. You know what the man responded? It didn't heal my body, but my soul was healed. That's the real miracle, right? That's the real miracle. The body's going to get corrupt and die, or whether or not we like it. That's what the doctors tell us, right? I think there's a study that came out recently that a Gallup poll, 100% of the people living today one day will die. Would you agree with that, Martha? Nadi siskapa, gorda, flock of feo guapo, nadi siskapa. So you have, friend, you have the mind of Christ. Yes? So receive the Eucharist at the mind of Jesus Christ. You got his memory. Pray that the Eucharistic Lord, his precious body, blood, soul, divinity, would bless your memory. So purify your memory of all that is ignoble, all that's dirty, all that's unclean, all that's not worthy of being a son of God. And reminisce. What does the Old Testament say? Call to mind the works of the Lord. The Old Testament constantly. Call to mind. Remember the works of the Lord. So when you're going through desolation, pray for the grace to call to mind how many blessings God's given to you. Do you have blessings? Call to mind the numerous, the countless, the incessant blessings that God has given to you and He gives to you. Amen?
Amen.
Then you have your understanding. Your memory has been purified, and in the Holy Spirit, through the presence of Christ in the Eucharist, starts to work more on your understanding. The reading today for St. John the Cross says that once you're going through this process of transformation, as I said in my Mass in Spanish, St. John the Cross, in his Dark Night of the Soul, divides the spiritual life into three different stages. They are the purgative way, the illuminative way, and friend, the unitive way, the purgative way. Purgation means what? To purify. Bad memories. The illuminative way. All of you people here in this group are most likely you people are in the illuminative way, I can tell you. Yeah. Are you in the unitive way? Maybe not. You probably haven't gone through the darkness of the soul yet. But you're not in the bright day of the flesh, thanks be to God, okay? So if you're in the illuminative way related to the Eucharist, what does that mean? Is that you're getting lights during the day. You're getting insights. You're getting inspirations. You're getting some flashes here. That's called the illuminative way of John the Cross. In the Rosary, we call them the luminous mysteries. Then you go up to a higher level, you arrive at what's called the unitive way, which is preceded by the dark night of the soul, whereas the fire of God's love starts to burn away the dross, all that is not worthy of God. John of the Cross gives that image that you like, the piece of iron, rusty iron that you throw in the fire. That comes from John of the Cross. And then what happens is the fire is going to be burning that away, and the piece of metal actually becomes part of the fire. And all the dross is burned away. And we can say with Paul, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So your intellect is being elevated to a higher level. Okay, we're reading St. Faustina. St. Faustina had a fourth grade education of elementary school. I don't think I've ever read a more sublime, profound, mystical treatise. Okay, I read John of the Cross years ago. I had to go back and read him again in honor of John of the Cross. I think I've barely ever read a more sublime, profound, mystical, spiritual writing as the Diary of St. Faustina. Would you agree with? Do you? Do you like reading this with me?
Yes.
I mean, I look forward to this every week. I mean, this is a woman. She's got a fourth grade education. I think her writing is something that goes beyond some doctors of the church. One day she'll be called the Doctor of Mercy. My prophecy. Doctor of Mercy. So if we want our mind to really be inundated with light, pray the Holy Spirit. But receive the Eucharist and be open. And I'm telling you what's going to be happening to you, what will happen to you. You have the mind of Christ. You're going to find yourself in certain circumstances where you don't know what to say. You're in a quagmire, a kind of a dilemma where you don't really know where to go. You got the mind of Christ. And you simply have to say, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Lord, breathe in me the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me the Holy Spirit. What's going to happen is God is going to give you the insight to act and say certain things that you would have never imagined in a million years. And then when you look back at the end of the day when you're doing your daily examine and you find yourself saying that or acting that way, you're going to say to yourself, where the heck did that come from? Has it ever happened yet? I notice it in many ways. For example, tomorrow I've got to do a funeral of this little boy who was in the LA Times the other day. Someone that Raquel knew, the mother that died of cancer. He was only about 11 years old after a real bout with it. Raquel, I don't know. I don't have the faintest idea what I'm going to say tomorrow. I don't have the foggiest idea. But the Holy Spirit's going to help out. You know, hit the LA time. It could be a full church. We might have, as you say in Italian, quattro gatti. No? Four cats, no? You never tell, no? But in circumstances which seem to be almost humanly impossible to resolve, you got the mind of Christ. I had a spiritual director years ago. Very interesting. He was my professor of literature. And his mother, he never married because he had to live with his mother who lost his dad died when he was pretty young. And he taught at Villanova. He was an expert in Shakespeare and Milton and Byron and Chaucer and Beowulf, you know. Middle English was his specialty. The Rhineland mystics, Walter Hilton, the Collado of Annoying, the Imitation of Christ, Julian of Norwich. He was expert in that field. And he would tell me that when you're going through a difficult problem, make a novena to the Holy Spirit and your problem will be resolved. Ever done that? So instead of trying to resolve the problem yourself, why don't you let the Holy Spirit do it? Like Our Lady, the untier of knots, the Holy Spirit can untie knots also. Amen? By the way, He is God, right?
Yes.
By the way, he was ordained a priest when he was about 71 years old. 71. And he was a priest in Philadelphia until he was about 81. And he died about in his early 80s, no? But never forget that advice. You got a problem with the family? The more you try to resolve it, the worse it gets. So often like me, like I'm a wired up person now. I have my podcast, I've got my transmitter, I've got the microphone. Sometimes I finish up, I'm tied up. I think that happens in our life. We can be wound up in so many problems. So let's arrive at the last point of the mind. You've got the memory, understanding, and you've got the imagination. How is your imagination? It's perfectly controlled, right? It's perfectly controlled, right? Teresa of Avila calls it la loca de la casa. La loca de la casa. One of the prayers I like from St. Louis de Montfort, True Devotion, we pray to Mary that she'll check our wandering imagination. I like that. That's in True Devotion. Check our wandering imagination. I think all of us have problems with wandering imagination. Right? Even the best of us. Your friend Saint Bernard. Not the dog, but the saint. Riding on the horse. Talking with his friend. Bernard saying, I've got distractions. His friend says, I never have distractions. And Bernard says, okay, if you can say one Our Father without a distraction, I'll give you my horse. Thank you. I always wanted a horse. Always wanted a horse. Kneels down and starts to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, will you give me the saddle with the horse? Okay. How easy it is for the imagination to go off on a tangent. All of this happens when you receive the Eucharist. You have the memory of Christ. You have the understanding of Christ. My friend, you have the imagination of Christ. And that's not metaphorical, but it's real. And I think one of the reasons why in this passage St. Faustine is so absorbed in God, her heart is so on fire, is that she's given special graces, but she corresponds to them. And she has a real longing for the Eucharist. Do you? Or do you take it for granted? One of the saddest passages we're going to arrive at eventually, probably by the year 2012, if we keep moving at my pace, is she says that many people go up and receive the Eucharist as if it were a dead object. Ooh. Any of you ever read the whole diary? Receiving the Eucharist as if it were a dead object. No? And Jesus says to her, better not to receive the Eucharist. How many people today maybe fall into that category? There's probably a few of them, right? Never receive the Eucharist as if we're a dead object. Receive the Lord with love. What did Jesus say to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque? 1697 in Paray-le-Monial, right? Behold the heart. See the heart? Fire is coming out of it. Behold the heart that has loved so much and received only what? Coldness and indifference. That's not the way to receive the Lord. When we receive the Lord with what? Faith. Lord, strengthen my faith. With what? With humility. With humility. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. The centurion, right? But only say the word and I'll be healed. Receive the Lord with confidence. What hurts him most is our lack of confidence. Another word for confidence is trust. Gotta trust. You know what Thomas Aquinas says is the most important condition? None of you would guess. Aquinas says this, hunger and thirst. I like that. That's Thomas Aquinas. Do we really have a hunger and thirst for God? And that is the specific sacramental grace of the Eucharist, which is what? It's nourishment. Aquinas, good theologian, huh? As the deer yearns for the what? The running stream. So my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. I like the Spanish. Como el siervo anhela las aguas corrientes, así mi alma tiene sed de ti, Dios mío. Very poetic in Spanish, huh? Yeah. Right, Grace? As a deer yearns for the running waters, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord, my God. There's a group of nuns. Have any of you ever been to Philadelphia? You ever hear of Philadelphia? Okay. With my spiritual director, I sometimes go to visit contemplative nuns. You're going to laugh at this. I'll tell you next week. I got to tell you. They were called the Pink Nuns. Elvira, you know where their convent is? The Pink Nuns? They live on Green Street. Well, in downtown Philadelphia, you have a lot of different interesting names in Philadelphia. You got Green Street, but you got the Pink Nuns that live on Green Street. And they're contemplative nuns. And the Mother Superior said, you know, Father, we are God's spoiled children. Like I say, you're God's spoiled children. You know why? You've made the exercises, right? You're consecrated Mary, right? You go to daily Mass. Most of you, is that true?
Yes.
You receive daily communion, right?
Yes.
You are really God's spoiled children. God bless you. And my superior, his name is Father Lowry, said, Father Broom, you got to do the 8:15 Mass. So I'm already about 10 minutes late, so it was good to be with you when I go out. So God bless you, and hopefully you'll be able to recognize that you're called also to live out that phrase of St. Paul. It is, put on the mind of Christ. Then you have the mind of Christ, and that is through the Eucharist. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among men, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you and see you next week.